Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me the opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that listen to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, to contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S. WRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So, without further ado, once again, we are grateful for the very word of truth this day. We're grateful for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And tonight, for those of you who've been following us on Blog Talk Radio, you know it's Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and myself, and also the voice of the handmaidens. And we give our invitation to every born again believer, man or woman in Christ Jesus, to join us on this broadcast. Amen. Praise be to God. And I'm going to click my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Well, shalom to the Most High God and to the Son of God and the Holy Spirit. We thank God for another day, another evening that we're allowed to have the privilege to declare the name of Jesus Christ and declare his goodness through this death on the cross. Just a wonderful, 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 great and glorious day the Lord has, God has given us. Here in America, we are doubly and triply blessed. Absolutely blessed with divine privileges given of God that we can declare the gospel of Jesus Christ over the airways without any great recompense. So therefore, we are greatly blessed being in this nation where many nations do not have the privilege without fear of persecution or death declaring the cross, the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many nations wish, the people wish they had the liberty we have in America. So I thank my God, even the Lord Jesus Christ who gave birth to this nation, that we may have this privilege in this 12th hour. So I'm just thanking the Most High God. Thank Amen. God for this day.
Amen.
Yeah, we are blessed.
You're very much right, brother. And I was thinking today because I had been looking at some a certain teaching on a particular subject on the internet by different people. And I want to say that, first of all, I thank God for the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, Jesus Christ, that Jesus, and we want to stress that to everybody, Jesus, not Brother Lee or Brother Nate, Jesus mm-hmm. have been sending through the Elijah. One of the other beautiful aspects about the word of the Lord is that when you read the messages, one of the things that Christ does, and this is what I love Christ for, if you ever have a dispute, the number one person can settle it is Jesus. Amen? If anybody
Amen.
Can settle a dispute, one of the things about
yes.
the word of the Lord is that it speaks on things that are very controversial, and
yes.
I put quotation marks around that word, controversial, in the body
mm-hmm.
of Christ. Okay, very,
yes.
very. And the Lord said in the word of the Lord, he said, he sent this message and said, I speak to you in your own language that you may understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he makes it plain. Now, we must understand this. The word of the Lord does not throw away the Bible. So therefore, what the word of the Lord says, you can look it up in the Bible too. And the beautiful thing about the word of the Lord is that it gives you the plain thing in Revelation. So if you need to search it in the scriptures, it helps you to search it in the Bible. And brother, one of the things I was looking at today, and the word of the Lord mentions, and I don't know if the Lord say the same after this series I'm on, maybe God would bless me to do something on it, was tithing. And it is so many people speaking against tithing today. Now, and I'm going to tell you, one of the reasons why I've seen it, and this ain't the only reason, but in their explanation and, quote, giving scriptures to support, I noticed that one of the things they said a lot, not all the time, among other things, is how, if you listen to them, they're looking at how people have abused it. And sometimes, brother, people will see people abuse something, but just because you abuse something doesn't mean that it is not so, okay? Just because people abuse what tithing is supposed to be used for doesn't negate that God said pay tithing, okay?
Yeah.
And so you have people talk about how the minister's abusing it and it was misused and they was under bondage because they was told it was beaten over the head about you have to pay tithing. I get all that. I get that. But just because that was done doesn't mean that it is not so, okay? And so I listened to brother so many, and I noticed the word of the Lord spoke to that. God was very clear on that. He was very clear on the tithing. It wasn't no dispute. You didn't need no translator or nothing.
Yeah.
He was straight on that. Because why? That's one of the things that has come very controversial when it shouldn't be. But it's very controversial in the body of Christ. I've heard one brother, I'm going to say this right quick, that I heard one say that they went so far as to say that anyone that is teaching or preaching on tithing, they ain't sent from God. I said, oh, wow.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. That's strong,
said, wow,
man. That's kind of strong, deep. That brother.
Yeah, this was a sister that said this, brother. This was a sister. And this sister, she's on point with a lot of things she teach. Don't get me wrong. But she came straight up. She said, and if they preach and teach on tithing, they ain't sent from God. And then she would tell you how that ministers is going to pay by God the judgment for teaching people about tithing. So, therefore,
my goodness.
Oh, man, she covered. She coming with the come with. But anyhow, I just want to say that, brother. I just want to say that, brother, because it made me think about the word of the Lord and the place of the word of the Lord. God, in the word of the Lord, he settles disputes that's going on among the body of Christ. So, brother, that's what I wanted to say, you know, in starting out.
Amen. Amen. That's very fruitful, brother. Very thoughtful and timely. So tonight we what we call celebrate, especially the Handmaid's Night, to all the women of God and the women, mothers around the globe, and especially in the body of Christ. But all those of goodwill and excellent and sound who seek the better, good, and excellent way. Yeah, you know, that's the strong times, tithing, you know, the strong words, whoever speak that. I've heard a lot of things about tithing, the tithing law.
Right.
And I've heard a lot of things.
But that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But they missed the point.
I've listened to their, you know, thoughts and opinion on there. And I kind of understand why some of them believe that or think that. These are a good, sometime Christian, Bible-believing Christians. Here's the thing about, I found over the years in looking at the scripture that just because you happen to be a lover of Jesus and a born-again Christian, that don't mean necessarily that you have the perfect, complete understanding about all the laws of God. In fact, you can be a good Christian and be error about some things. And that's what people don't realize. You can be a gifted, anointed Christian, but lack understanding concerning certain scriptures. You know why? Because nobody has the perfect, complete comprehension of all scripture in everything. You may have a lot of anointing in the gift of healing or the gift of deliverance or gift of faith, yet lack understanding in some other areas of the scripture. And so therefore, by now I'm not having a perfect understanding, some traditions and man-made teaching goes along with some truth. So we don't take for granted just because a man is anointed in healing or in faith that he understands all scripture.
Right.
Hallelujah. And so that's where the pride enter into it. There's the anointed, mighty men of God and women who are anointed in a certain area, a certain gift, another talent, anointed gift, but yet lack understanding concerning certain areas. And one of the areas that we find out there are great men and women of God who do not understand the coming of Elijah in the last days. Now, even though they're good men, wonderful men, love the Lord and anointed of God, they still, even though they're good men, their hearts are good, but their understanding is darkened concerning or ignorant of the coming, the second coming of Elijah.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean that they are not men of God or women of God because they lack this understanding. They have not been given the complete revelation and understanding. God works with people, line up on line, here is little, there a little. So the pride part is that when men are gifted and anointed in a certain area of God and call of God, they have to understand that even though they have an anointing in certain areas and gifts, they may lack wisdom or understanding concerning certain other areas of the scriptures. So it's just like, well, a person could be totally anointed in administering worship and singing, but lack understanding in some other areas. So they've been gifted and called to do a certain area of teaching, but that don't mean they have perfect understanding. So you're quite right. You hear a lot of good and wonderful, sincere believers who teach you against this tithing. Now, well, they don't mean any harm. They're just blind or ignorant to some understanding of what tithing is and why it's still relevant today. So we have to just pray for those dear beloved who are what we call lacking understanding of God's will concerning tithing in the Old and the New Testament. So we'll pray for that sister and ask God to forgive her, saying that, well, whoever preaches tithing is not of God. That's a strong statement. I don't think I'm very, very strong statement to make a statement like that. So, but it happens that people sometimes go off on the deep end just because they are anointed in another area. They feel they can just say about anything. Any area of the scripture, and saying, wait, I think I better wait upon the Lord and search this out. I think I better humble myself.
Well, brother, actually, she said the Holy Ghost gave her this revelation that the tithing is not, you know, don't supposed to be, you know, carried out today. This is what she said.
Oh, my goodness. That's serious. That's kind of serious. That's serious when you said the Holy Ghost told you that. That's really serious there. Whenever,
yeah.
I can understand, you know, but when you said the Holy Ghost gave me a direct word, the Holy Ghost gave me, that's really serious. You know,
right.
I can say, you said, well, this is my understanding. I looked at it and I don't think that kind of thing is there. But when you say the Holy Ghost, you're putting all on the line. That sister, whoever, and the other people who said the Holy Spirit. Now, I can go along with them. They say, well, my understanding of the Holy Scripture. But when you say, I have received a word of revelation from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said that tithing is not a part of the New Testament teaching, and that whoever teaching that is not of God, that is a serious, serious error and mistake. And I say that from the messenger as well as the Bible, the angel that comes today, the messenger of the covenant, the Elias, has spoken on clearing up the confusion and the great controversies that Christian has about some doctrine in the scripture. Now, there's about six areas that Christians are divided on. And I wrote these six areas that Christians are divided on this. But the messenger of the covenant, the angel, the Elias that comes in our day, is spoken on these six controversies. And he has cleared them up.
Yeah.
He has freed us up from confusion, freed us up from debate. We know the mind and the will of God. This angel, this messenger, the resurrected John, coming in the spirit of Elijah, who restoring all things, had restored this truth with clarity. With clarity. These things that Christians are divided on, like, which I'm not going to get into today, these six, perhaps seven things that Christians are divided and separate. The messenger of the Lord comes today and make it plain and put down all confusion. So we're just glad about that. We're rejoicing that. And he doesn't, he refers to what the Bible says, but he gives understanding on it, perfect understanding. Man gives his understanding as much as he know, but the angel of the Lord don't have any thoughts. He has the mind of Christ, and the angel of the Lord speak directly the will of God. So, thank God. So today, one of the areas that men and churches often have a little discrepancy is about worship. Today, it just so happened that there's an area that divides Christians about worship, praise and worship. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there's a little confusion about what's called entertainment and between what is called spiritual worship and the difference between spiritual worship unto the Lord God that he accepts and just people singing and making money or just entertaining using the gospel tunes and letters. There is a difference between worship, true worship. Right. And see, a lot of people don't think that, well, they're singing the gospel. Or are they? First thing you ask them, are they of the gospel?
Right.
That's what you got to worry about. Are they of the gospel? Second thing you got to ask them, are they of the spirit? Are they born of the spirit? How can they make known about spiritual songs when they're not in the spirit or of the spirit of God? How can you do that? Well, they say the words. That's not just because you said it words. You know, that's just like a cow saying, I'm a horse. The cow can say I'm a horse all he wants. You know?
Yeah.
So there's a difference because we call gospel songs and gospel messages, a lot of people are singing it. But are they a part of the kingdom of God? Are they born of the Spirit? How can they sing that which they know not of? If you are not a part of the kingdom of God, how can you sing spiritual songs unto the Lord? No, you can use it as entertainment to make money.
Right.
And so there is a big difference. There's a big difference. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the Old Testament, anything that you had to offer to God, you had to first offer your own life to God first. Here's the thing. They have the talent, but have they offered their life to God? Listen, everything in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow. And it tells you an example that everything in the temple of God, Jehovah, the children of Israel were taught, they had to sanctify it first. Do you know that everything that God used, you know, it had to be sanctified first?
Amen.
Even the cups they put in the temple, even the everything had to be offered to God first and sanctified and holy before they could use it. So if everything physically in the temple of Israel where they came to worship and the presence of God, everything before they could be used, it had to be cleansed, sanctified, and offered to the living God first. The priest had to offer himself, his garments, every instrument, every vessel had to be anointed first. So before people come out and singing for God, you got to ask them a question. Have you offered yourself up to the God that you said you sing about? All right, then. Let's move on. I'll continue prayer and special intercession for our dear sister, Sally Bruce, who's fighting against the opposition of enemy against our body. And our dear beloved sister Sally from Rockford, Illinois, who has for many years stood her ground in Christ and in the Church of Christ with Elijah Message, holding to the word of the Lord and teaching her family and being a surrogate, opening her home to the things of God. And so she has a terrible disease that's trying to shorten her days, but we're standing fast to fight the good fight for our sister Sally Brewster, because she's one of us. And even if she was not in the body of Christ, Jesus stopped by many people in Israel who were not covenant with him. So love reach beyond boundaries. All right. I was looking again about before. You know, I was just thinking a few minutes ago. By the way, handmaidens around the world, we wish you a blessing in learning how to worship Jesus in spirit and truth in your land, and how you can break up the power of darkness and scatter the evil one by learning how to worship Jesus wherever you are in your home, in spirit and truth, and power, intercession, and song before the Lord, how you can scatter the evil and hinder the enemy from working. The power of worship, of true worship. Have you paid attention to every culture? Usually every culture, if you look at every culture, just for almost all of them, that they, before they go to war or go to some event, they always dance and make merry. Have you noticed that the Indians, especially American Indians, they start dancing before they go to war? They do a dance and a worship before they go to war. And you say, where did they get that from? You go into even some of the African tribes, before they go to war or go out to battle, they start dancing and put on their war clothes and dance and sing. Well, where did they get that long from? You go to some of the Latin American countries and far off, even some of the Russian people, they dance and make merry, not only for festivals, but also many times for war. So they have that in their culture. And you see that the Indians, man, do they worship and dance when they go to war. They start putting on them faces for war and start dancing, beating them drums. Now, they must have had some understanding long ago about the area of worship in order to win wars. The Africans do the same thing. Some of the Central and South Americans do the same thing. Hallelujah. The Russians, some of the four northern tribes do the same thing. So they must have in their long line of legacy something about dancing, worshiping, and praising before they go to war. And you know, when we see American Indians, man, they don't do nothing. When they get ready to go out to win a battle, they start boom, 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 right? See, right?
Right.
And the Africans do the same. And there's some of the northern tribes of the European people in Central America and the Syrians and different ones, same. They worship and dance before their God. Yes. So now, how is that connected today that to Christianity, the true worship of the living God Jehovah and his son Jesus is connected greatly to win battles by war? So today we got to understand the power of winning wars and battles. First, put on the garment of praise and worship. All right. This is very important for us to understand why the Lord tells us the power of worship and praise. We're going to go back to an example in the Old Testament that speaks to this very clearly in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 again. And anyone out there that wants to join us, feel free to enter in and add your testimony of truth with us, and we can rejoice together about going to win victories, spiritual battles, physical battle, of all other kind of battle in the army of God. The army had to, all of Israel, before they won or went to battle. Let's see what Second Chronicles chapter 20, beginning at verse 20, verse 19 to 25. We're not going to read the whole chapter. The whole chapter of Chronicles details how a Jehovah intervened to show how the power of praise and worship stopped the powers of darkness and caused them to be destroyed. If you set up a sanctuary in your house or in your life or in your mountain, you notice in Israel they had a certain place anointed and chosen to worship. In the New Testament, anywhere where a Holy Ghost-filled person who set his heart to worship and know the Lord, that place is sanctified and he can be worship God in spirit and truth, even in his home. That doesn't mean he doesn't supposed to go to the body of Christ. That doesn't mean that, but even though a lot of people have tried to replace that by not being a part of a body of Christ, they say, I do it at home. I said, well, if you're a part of the body of Christ, you have committed yourself to be a part of the body of Christ, and if you're enabled to do that, then surely you can worship at home. Okay, let's go. Second Chronicles, how the power of the garment of praise and worship has to do with us reaching the level of faith to scatter the enemy, called the armor of praise. It is a battle axe. I'll say this again. Worship and praise is not just going into the presence of God and the presence of God coming to you, but it's also a warring tool. Hallelujah to Jesus. I say it's a warring weapon. It's a warring. A lot of people think that when they see people, there's a difference in how people pray. Now, the Pentecostal people, here's the difference in Christianity, brother. When you go among different groups of Christianity, there is a little dissension between how the Pentecostal full gospel people worship and how nominal, what they call nominal evangelist Christians. So they say, well, they're fanatics, brother. No, everybody ain't no fanatic. I'll say that again. Everyone is not a fanatic because they don't come up to your expectation of worship. Everybody ain't no fanatic. Everybody, they make believing. We're going to find out that the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, how he works with certain people. Before you open your mouth and say, well, we don't worship that way, well, you just kind of be careful. And let us all be careful and be wise, because you don't know a lot of stuff that you think you know, because you do not know the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit, how he works with certain people. Well, brother, we're quiet and soft. That's great. That's how the Spirit of God working with you. That's wonderful. But don't try to lock that in. Don't try to lock us in because that's the way the Lord works with you. Sometimes that happens. All right. So, you want to read that, brother?
Second Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to start at verse 18. It said, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. That they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And there they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, as it was so much.
Listen, that's a event that chronicles about the one of the great benefits of worshiping and praise. It had such power to release deliverance and cause a victory to come when you open the windows of heaven and cause heaven to come down. Worship and praise. That's why the enemy hates true worship in spirit and in truth. And many people who curtail real, genuine worship in the Holy Ghost because it is not similar to what they had learned. Listen, we're gonna learn a lot more about the Holy Spirit and how He works with people, because we don't have all the understanding that we think we got. We may have precepts and concepts, but the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, we can find out that the Holy Spirit is such power, such might, and such great glory that when it comes upon people, they respond in different ways. Am I right about it?
Amen. Amen.
Let me give you an example, because maybe the Holy Spirit has not come in your congregation with such great glory and power, so you don't respond the same way, because you maybe just sit silent and quietly, and that's great. Not against, that's good. But then in some other people who reach out to God, reach out to Jesus, reach out to the Holy Ghost, like they did on the day of Pentecost, when they received the Holy Ghost, there was a lot of noise going on because the mighty winds of the Holy Ghost had blew on them. And they responded. They thought the people were drunk. Hey, what these drunk people? What's going on? Are they drunk? We're drinking wine? Sometimes the Holy Spirit is so overwhelming and powerful, the response to our emotions is great that we have to express that, brother. Have you ever touched a live wire accidentally? Some people have never touched an electric wire accidentally, put their hand in the socket. Or live wire, your body going to respond. Is that right?
Amen. Amen.
Do you think that you're going to keep silent? Not hollering. When you hit that electric wire, your whole body going to shake or tremble, or you going to say, what, wow, or something, right?
Amen.
Are you going to stay quiet and solemn and just solemn? I know this is 100 volt. I just got hit by 100 volts, so I'm going to sit quiet and solemn, brother. No, if you get hit by enough volt from the Holy Ghost, you are not going to, your body and your soul is going to respond one way or the other. Either you're going to fall out or get slain, or you're going to shout from the touch of that shock of that glory coming into your human body. So let's not be so quick. Because the Holy Ghost can come in such a powerful way that sometimes people are slain or they fall out. Even the angels, when they come in the presence of a human being cannot stand long in the power of the heavenly anointing of an angel. They get so weak that many of them fall out, like Daniel did. Daniel, when Gabriel came to him and he stood, and Gabriel stood before him, the man became so overwhelmed with the power, he fell out. And the angel said, rise, and touched him on his feet. Because the power of God is so overwhelming, so great, if the glory come unto you in a glorious way, you will shout, jump, dance, and express that, and rejoice. And God does not stop you from responding, because human beings are different. Am I right about it?
Amen. Amen.
Now, it's a difference that if you just get a 30 volt, and you respond to a 30 volt, right? But if you get 100 volt, that's you're gonna react a little different than a 30 volt. Is that right?
That's right.
100 and the 30 day is a bit different. So if you get hit by a bigger vote, your whole body and mind going to express, you might say, hallelujah. Where that come from? You might say, glory to God. Well, what's wrong with them people? Yeah, well, something good has happened to them. Could you think about that? All right, let's go about worship. When the powerful anointing of worship comes in such a powerful way. Now, I'm not going to condemn the other churches that have they have a 30-watt bulb hit them because they love the Lord and they draw the Spirit of God to a soft, easy way. But then I'm not going to condemn the full gospel nor the Pentecostal apostolic. Sometime when they receive the greater power of God, the greater vote of God, they respond in a very, very emotional and express it through their emotion. Because when you get hit by a 100-watt, brother, I had stuck my finger accidentally when I was a little kid up in the electric socket. I was messing around and stuck my finger in that thing. That electricity hit my arm. My arm went this way, just like, you know. So when you see people lifting up and praising God, they're not always fanatic or emotional. They're responding. They're responding to the Holy Ghost and the 100-watt or the 200-watt. Hallelujah. All right. Worship. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7 to 17. Worship before the battle. Worship the living God in spirit and power. Worship can bring the hand of God, the finger of God, the might of God, the healing of God, the deliverance. It can scatter demons, even the enemy. Just like Hezekiah, the enemy was scattered and confused. Why? Because Hezekiah sent an army, a group of singers who were worshipers anointed by Jehovah, and they went before the army of Israel and just said, they began to praise and worship Jehovah. And what happened to the enemy? When you get in your home or any place and begin to worship the Holy the One of Israel and worship in spirit and truth, demons that's around your home or in your home going to ask for an exit. What door can I go or get out? When that glory of God, the presence, come in your home, you're binding the enemy and scattering the powers of darkness. Even healing and deliverance can come your way. Because you're opening the windows of heaven and you're releasing the sword of the Lord for war and releasing the healing for your deliverance. This is important and very key to our victory in war. All right, let's see. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7. 17.
The word of the Lord said, then on that day, David delivered first a psalm to thank the Lord into the hands of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath with unto Isaac, and have confirmed the same to Jacob for a law unto Israel, for an everlasting covenant.
In Israel, in concerning temple worship, there were men who were called Kohathites or Levites who were anointed and chosen to praise the Lord. Have you read? You read about that, right?
Right.
That in worship and praise to the living God of Israel was key to them having victory. Therefore, when you read about David, most people do not know what was the key to him winning all these battles and victories that he won. One of them was David was a true worshiper of Jehovah. He knew how to worship him through the covenant of promise. And he learned and he knew the victory for Israel. And in the plan of God, there were men that was chosen and anointed. And their whole thing was they were chosen and anointed in worship and singing. Some of them were the Kohathites, and they were Levites, ministering unto the Lord. This was key in everything that they did. Listen, if the Christian or the believers want to win battles against the unseen enemy and forces of darkness that opposes us every day, if he wants to subdue the enemies that work against our flesh, learn the key. What David taught us in all his Psalms and in all of his life that Jehovah revealed to him, the power of battle winning through worship, not only coming to his presence, but Jehovah's presence coming to fight for us. Worship and praise is not only a glorious thing to ushers us in, but it ushers in the living God, his power, to come to our rescue and our deliverance. Listen, the devil hates the worship of God in spirit and truth. That's why he's got the people arguing about, well, don't take all that, Brother Nate. That ain't necessary. Well, it ain't necessary for you. But don't tell me what's not necessary for me, because I follow the pattern of David with an example all the way into the New Testament. How when the lightning bolt of the Holy Ghost hits you. Listen, the first important time, one of the great experiences I had with the Holy Spirit, when I fell out. Now, there is such a power the Holy Spirit can come upon you that your body cannot take it. You will fall down and out. We have an example of that in all the scriptures. When people came into the presence with the glory of God or the angels, they fell down, out. And the angels said, get up, don't worship me. Worship God in spirit and truth. Don't worship me. But the power even of angels standing in their presence is so overwhelming. But on the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts, the power of the Holy Spirit, they had never experienced this in the New Testament as a gift. It came upon and in them with a mighty, and it was not so quiet, brother. You know, it came like a what? A mighty rushing wind. Is that right?
Right.
A mighty rushing wind. So the Lord didn't silently come, did he? Silently. How did they react, brother? Did they react like people thought they were drunk?
Right.
Wow. That can happen, and it does happen today. It doesn't happen to everybody because a lot of people refuse to receive the measure of the Holy Spirit. They have a lock on how we're going to receive. But we're talking about winning battles and complete victories. Victories. Thank God for Jesus. All right. Would you carry on a little bit, brother, till I get back to you? Okay?
Amen.
I got to get this call. Keep on going.
Amen. Well, we thank God for the word that our brother is sharing here and the importance of worship. Worship is vitally important. And, you know, it's amazing, and he had been speaking on this, how that, you know, I've experienced where there have been professing believers in the past, even when it's connected. You know, what people don't understand many times is that how that worshiping God can also be connected to your healing. Now, I know that in the scriptures that people lay hands on them, that's true. But you must understand that, too, the scripture always also show you that the people didn't get healed always by hands being laid on them. Just as well, they didn't always get healed by being anointed. with oil. And I have seen at times, and it has happened in my life as a Christian personally, that when I wasn't feeling well in my body, that when I came into church service and began to worship God, I experienced the power of God and I was healed without a hand being laid on, without any anointing or oil. Now, this message is not to speak against that. I'm just saying that it was the word showed more than one avenue to the healing. Now, of course, faith has to be involved, but it showed more than one avenue. And I have seen people who have come into church service mad, upset, lip poked out, ain't feeling well, and leave the same way they came. And even when you have had worship service or worship and praise service, they will sit there with their lips continually poked out, not getting into the spirit of worship, and therefore they have left the same way they came. And then they go and tell other people that I wasn't getting fed in church service. And then these are some of the ones who constantly down church service, or many times constantly down the pastor. I'm not saying every pastor is right now. I'm talking about those that is in right standing. And these are some of the ones that down, and they say, well, I ain't getting fed. Well, my question would be, what kind of spirit do you come into the service with, and do you leave with that same type of spirit? If you come into the church service, you mad, upset, or all like that, and lip poked out, and you just grunted, and it's time for worship service, you just sit there and won't worship. But guess what? The devil is speaking to you, and he's robbing you. Amen. He's robbing you. And you thinking it's helping you to be sitting there upset, mad, and lip poked out when you're being robbed. God may want to heal you. He may want to deliver you. He may want to speak a word to you. But because you won't worship him, okay, in the worship service, you're sitting robbed. You got some people in the body of Christ who had this mind of thinking that the only way that they can be healed is by laying on their hands, and that they can't be healed by worshiping the Lord. You have some people that think that, okay? And I've seen at different times that when it comes even to healing, you don't always have to have hands laid on you. If you worship the Lord, the power of the Lord has come and has healed people based on worshiping God. So, amen. Therefore, you know, when we look at it, brother, many times we let the devil rob us, and then we're robbing ourselves because we're coming into service,
yes,
disgruntled, upset. And then when the pastor say, okay, it's worship time, we just sit there still with our lips poked out, still mad, still thinking about whatever. And then we leave the service the same way we came, and we go tell everybody it was a bad service, I wasn't getting fed, you know, blah, 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 all that. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. You got me, brother?
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
All right, so you explaining about releasing deliverance, healing, and victory. Hallelujah. There's people that went into a spirit of worship and praise, and they would get robbed or attacked and begin to worship or begin to rebuke the devil or begin to speak in tongues and pray in the Holy Ghost, and the enemy fled. I've read of many people who were getting ready to get attacked, and they began to rebuke or bind the enemy or begin to go into worship or pray in tongues or worship God in tongues, and the enemy was scattered. Hallelujah to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's, now when you talk about it, it's, this kind of thing is strange to some people and not strange to other people. Now, when you have entered into that realm, it's not strange to you, but to those people that have never experienced this, it's strange to them. We don't have that. Well, that's up to you. The channel of how far you go in God spiritually is up to the individual, and also to the teaching or the lack of teaching.
Well, amen.
It's not that people aren't sincere. It's just that their lack of understanding and the traditions of men will stop you. See, what Jesus spoke in the 15th chapter of Matthew about the traditions, the thinking, and the opinions of men. You can be a good person, a Christian person, and have some thinking opinions that are not necessarily in line with the Word of God. So you establish mm-hmm. them as a church policy. This is our mm-hmm. policy. But it doesn't come directly from God. It's just your precept of what you think it should be. But in the Bible, in the record of Nephi, there's some powerful stories about worship and the visitation of God. I mean, the record of Nephi is full of some miraculous visitation and a confrontation with the power of God and angels and how victory was won. Don't you know mm-hmm. in the 16th chapter of Acts, Paul and Silas were beaten, whooped, thrown in jail. Thrown in jail, brother. See, we have not been thrown in jail and whooped and beaten, most of us, so we don't know nothing about that. But we're going to find out right here in America what it means to be slapped, beaten, and thrown in jail. You just wait. It ain't come to America yet, so I got my chance. You can enjoy your freedom now because your time of restriction and persecution is going to come to test your faith. But in other countries, they are put in jail and killed right now. But America, we're still enjoying the liberty of God, so I praise God. So I'm not going to let nobody constrain me or hinder me. While I got a chance, I'm going to praise and worship him. If I have to do it outside of my home, do it out in the street, I don't have to do it in your congregation to upset you. I got the liberty to do it in my home, to worship him and magnify Jesus, all I want to do. Hallelujah. In spirit and in truth, to my heart content. If I want to dance in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost, I will dance unto the Lord. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it holy unto the Lord. It don't have to be no make-believe, no pretend, because the Lord ain't come up on you to dance, but David danced with all his might. Well, that ain't happened to me, brother. Well, it don't have to happen to you because you don't want it, and you wouldn't accept it, so God ain't going to push it on you. Hallelujah. Amen. But while I'm in your house, I'm going to keep order. I'm going to keep peace. I'm gonna respect the authority of the house. I'm gonna keep peace. But when I go outside, I'm gonna let the Lord loose in my house where I want to be, because you will not allow the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about fanaticism. I know there are people that are fanatics and emotionalists and get over things. I know that. But just because you got some fanatics and some old emotional people, that don't mean there is not any genuine experience. Remember, just because that's a fake experience, there's always got to be a genuine experience. Yes, amen. Yes, am I right about it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, it's just like people, they always talk about tongues, and they pick on one of the gifts of the Spirit. They pick on tongues, and the other one is prophecy. And those two have been abused. And because there are people who abuse it or misuse it, they want to throw the whole baby out. Just because somebody abused or misused something, I'm not throwing the genuine out. Why should I throw the genuine out? Just because a car run over and killed somebody, I'm going to stop driving a car just because somebody get drunk and I'm going to start using the car? Do people stop driving cars when they hear about people getting killed or running over somebody? No, because there are people that are safe drivers to use cars. And therefore, nobody going to stop driving no car because somebody abused the privilege of driving. That's just the way with the gifts of God. If somebody abused or misaligned or fanatically imitate the genuine, I'm not going to throw the whole thing away. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, I pray with my spirit and I pray with understanding. I pray in tongues and I pray with my English. Now, just because some people get fanatic and the devil imitate that gift, I'm not going to throw away the real gift just because you don't accept it in your congregation. I'm going to line it up with the Word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Worship, true worship, is an ambushment for devils and demons. Sickness, disease can go. Oppression can go. They use it in the Old Testament to make place for war and winning battles, as well as ushering in the presence of the living God. Not only you go in the presence coming to you, and the sword of the Lord comes out of your mouth when you worship. There was a person said, me and Brother Crocker was in this building where a lot of gang warfare was going on. So we went into this building where the gangs would control this particular building. And they would let holler nobody in or out. So the man that we went to said, I can't leave my building because if I go down, these gangs will get me. So I got to stay in my building. So we went up, me and Brother Crockett, and we began to study the Word of God and plant the Word of God. And as we began to pray, he said, I see something coming out of your mouth. See, when you praise the Lord, when Brother Crockett and I was talking, he said, I felt something coming out of your mouth. I think he said like a fire. So when you release the Word of God, something comes out of your mouth. That's why when the saints really worship in spirit and truth, in the redeeming way of Christ, something comes out of their mouth. But the devil ain't going to let you. He don't want that to come out of your mouth because he got to get out of town. He got to get out of town. When the anointing of praise and true worship hits you, and again, it comes out of your mouth, you release something. What are you releasing? What are you releasing? The heathens, when they dash to their God, they worship, and they are releasing something. Now, when the Christians who are in spirit and truth in Christ, what are they releasing? They are counteracting the works of the devil, just like Hezekiah. They ambush the enemy, the invisible kingdom of God, the spiritual doctrine, demons and witches and warlocks, sickness, disease, oppression. It must go. It began to leave.
Jesus.
See, some people have locked themselves in, like Brother Nate said, the only way I can get my healing and deliverance, this is the only way, brother. I'm not saying that's not one of the ways. I'm not speaking against that one way. But they try to lock God in and hinder him, say, this is the only way you can work. Because we are not going to, we have to do this just like, let me say, brother, sister, you have to sit this way. You have to turn this way and let us put this way. And they think that's the only way, sister. That's why a lot of people don't get healed or delivered. They have locked, they haven't let the leading of the Holy Spirit, because the Lord don't bring healing and deliverance the same way. Now, here's the thing. The Lord don't bring victory, healing, and deliverance in the same way. If you don't believe it, just read the Bible. Apparently, a lot of people have not read the Bible as much as they thought they should. Neither have they read the Record Nephite, because the Record Nephite is one of the most astounding books about the visitation of the Lord dealing with the powers of the enemy.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Amen. Welcome, Sister Anderson. Welcome.
Oh, God bless you, brother. God bless you. Amen.
And welcome to our dear brother who's sitting in the back. He in the background often said nothing. But we're going to ask the Lord to set a lightning bolt there so we'll get him on there. Mm-hmm. So we pray for a lightning bolt come there, brother. just get it, brother. Just get it, brother. Don't get me. Don't
We'll be fine with that. I thank and I praise the Lord for that lightning bolt. I went to the store today. I got back. I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I left the house and the Lord laid on my heart to start to pray. I prayed all the way to the store. And I told him, I said, and guess who was the utmost in that prayer? You know, I thank and I praise God. Send the lightning bolt. Amen.
Well,
I thank and I praise
if you
him
ever
for
get hit by a lightning bolt, actually, the physical lightning bolt, some people survive it. It's so devastating that some people do survive being hit by a tree by a lightning bolt. I'm likening it to the Holy Spirit in power, in overwhelming power, how many people respond to it.
Amen. Amen.
Every group of people are not the same. The Indians are used to worship. The Latin American people are very, very worship oriented. The Afro American black people are very open to worship. That's why they worship with all their hearts and their might. Generally, you find the Latin American people like that. But there are certain other groups of people that love the Lord. They don't respond as much to open and oral worship. But when the Holy Ghost come with power, like it did on the Pentecost, it breaks the barrier of their thinking. I said it breaks the barrier of their previous thinking, how they going to respond. Because I can tell you, if you stick your hand in that socket up there and that bolt hits you in your body, I guarantee your whole body gonna respond.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So let's see about worship. Let's go to about finding victory and opening war, releasing war. You notice the Lord talks a lot about war in the Old Testament, and you see a lot of battles, physical battles, but most of them, they're not just physical battles, they're spiritual battles too. And in the New Testament, we generally as Christians, they fight spiritual warfares. The armies of our nation, they fight physical wars. But the Church of Living God, generally, they fight the spiritual battles from a spiritual point of view. That's why it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal weapons. We don't use weapons against devils and demons and kingdom of darkness. It don't work in the spiritual world. There's different type of tools when you fight spiritual wars. He says, put on the whole armor of God in the sixth chapter. That's a different warfare that we Christians fight. Now, our battleground is drawn. That said, the weapons of our warfare are not using earthly tools.
Amen.
You can't use earthly tools or human tools to fight spiritual powers of darkness.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Can you imagine if every born-again, saved Christian would today, all around you and all your nudity, all your, would pull out their weapons and their warfare and start shooting the enemy? I'm not talking about pistols, but it was, if they were with one unified begin to warring all around you, there would be a total difference. If,
amen.
If 10% of the Christians in Washington, D.C., 10%, 15 Christians would unitely come together two nights a week, 10% of all Christians in every city, just 10% of them, because one can chase 1,000, and two, just two born-again warriors, Christian, can chase 10,000. You get that? Did you get that?
Amen.
Yeah.
If 10%, brother, in Durant or Chicago, of the born-again Christian would come together for 2 hours, for two nights, they would see a difference in their neighborhood and the powers that's working in the neighborhood. I know, I know, I know. I know if they begin to use two days to fast and pray and launch a united together with power, the enemy over these cities, community will begin to get the shakes and get heart attacks and strokes, and the demons will say, "Ooh, I'm about to have a heart attack, stroke, let me get out of here." Because you release something that's not of this earth. You're releasing something. But the Lord commanded us to war. Teach my hands to war, my fingers to fight. Teach me. Here, anoint me for war now. We are anointed for war against the enemy. This little crooked trick stuff that people were doing, the devil ain't scared. He ain't moving. That little silent stuff, that little Solomon stuff is not the only thing you think you're going to rout the devil. You're going to have to become a warrior spirit.
Yes.
Worship. Before you war, worship. Worship and praise go before to scatter and make the enemy weak. Let's read the 95th Psalms. And read something. I know. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you remember when you first came to Jesus and Jesus came in your life and the Holy Spirit came in your life? You had a desire just to worship. You had an ultimate desire to worship in your home, worship with the saints. There was just an outpouring of love. When you worship in spirit and truth, there's an outpouring of love and stuff goes out of your life. Stuff that's trying to hang on, it leaves. Demons that's trying to cleave to you, leave. Your heart get convicted, you let go grudges and bitterness. You let it go. The demon of separation and pride, it begin to get out. You begin to repent. You begin to confess your sin. You begin to say, "I'm sorry I didn't love you. forgive me for not reaching out to you. It convicts you. It brings you under conviction. Oh, yes, it do. It do it for me. It may not do it for you, but it do it for me. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It confounds the enemy. Worship, true worship in spirit and praise. Now, praise often leads into worship. Now, most people think they are necessarily the same. Praise is a little different from worship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Praise is you thanking God what he done for you.
Mm-hmm.
Worship is you are thinking what he is to you. There's a difference. Worship is what he is to you, what he means to you. Praise is you're giving thanks to him, what he has accomplished or what he has done. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's read 96 here, brother, and we're going to intercede for a few minutes for Sister Helen Bruce, our dear beloved sister, and we're going to war with her and for her and stand with her because the devil's crowd is standing together and uniting together.
Mm-hmm.
So the people of the Christ don't stand together. And see, the devil is tricky. He got these little things. Well, you don't belong to my group, Sister Anderson. And we are the only one in the earth. Yeah, I done heard that so many times in my Christian walk. We have a monopoly on the truth, sister. And so, well, I don't want to get in that monopoly stuff again. I know that God has a remnant of people who are of faith all over the earth that we don't even know about.
Yes.
He got people that he's been visiting over the other side of the earth that we don't even know about.
Amen. I believe that.
We get a little arrogant when God deals with us. People think when they get a little area of the truth, they think we're the only one in the whole earth. Well, okay, that's good. That's nice. That really is. What are you doing with what you got? Since you're the only one in the earth, I want to ask this question. Some people, you know, get it to the place where we're the only one, brother. We're the only one. I've went to different churches, different groups. We're the only one. I said, what are you doing with what you say you got?
Amen.
Have you captured the whole world yet? Or your city? Or your community? Or your street? Well, then I think you ought to be silent until you begin to war and capture the enemy and loose the captive. All right, let's read a little bit of 96 Psalm about the power that releases against the enemy and the power that brings healing and freedom. 96 Psalms.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chief.
Anyone that wants to?
I'm sorry.
Anyone may? Okay, well, I'll get it then. Hallelujah.
We'll sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty, and before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye tenders of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring and offer and come into his court. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathens that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, but that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the seas roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the woods rejoice before the trees? Lord.
But wait a minute. Hold on. So you said the trees will rejoice?
The trees. Shall all the trees of the woods rejoice?
I'm going to take that like it is. Now, I can spiritualize that if I want to. It said the trees.
The trees.
Rejoice. I see the trees. Now and then we see the trees waving and lifting their, and, you know, a lot of times when the Lord get into your hands or your body, your hands go up. And people have not experienced that, that your hands is a sign of surrender. When you lift your hands, you're surrendering and acknowledging the Most High God. That's not disruption. That's not distraction when the Holy Spirit gives you to lift your hands. Now, I know a lot of people get carried away emotionally in a lot of areas, but there are people who are genuinely have been moved in such a way that the breakthrough in their lives calls them to rejoice. See, there are certain breakthroughs that you receive. You can't help but praise him. Nothing can hold you, sister. I know a lot of people, well, what was wrong with them? They don't experience a breakthrough. You don't know what the Lord has done for them and brought them through.
Because
he ain't touched you that way. Because he ain't working with you that way. Don't be so quick. Don't be so quick to judge.
Amen.
They may be just come from death door, from bondage, from drugs, from a homosexual, from murder. You don't know what the Lord delivered them from and why they're rejoicing. They just got out of a cripple bed, a cancer bed. You don't know what they're praising God for. But my God, if the Lord, that man, when Peter touched them in the fifth chapter of Acts, he said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. The man went dancing. What you doing, brother? You ain't supposed to dance. I know you've been crippled all your life, but now you got your legs. Now you went dancing and rejoicing. We don't allow no dancing and rejoicing here now. We can't have that.
All for Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, before we intercede, let's turn to the word of the Lord, the angel's message, the Revelation 14:6, the angel of deliverance that brings a word. In our generation, message 88 and verse 3. And it authenticates, certifies, and affirms what the Bible says. The word of the Lord, straight from the throne of God. 88, verse
3.
Thank you, Jesus.
Message 88:3. The word of the Lord said, praise the Lord in worship, lift up and rejoice. Bask in his life-giving light. I bear witness of that light. The earth is lightened by the words I bring. I come to moderate the will of God. I proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only through his atoning blood can mankind be saved.
Amen.
In 89 message, he says, fear not to lift your hands to the Lord.
Yes.
Now, that's a simple statement. That's nothing. I got to spiritualize everything. It simply says, in your worship, fear not to lift your hands to the Lord.
Jesus.
You know why I said fear not? Because a lot of people have a lot of fears about fanaticism or fears, and these fears stop them from receiving from God.
Yeah.
See, fear and ignorance will stop you from receiving God. Fear and ignorance will stop you from receiving from God many times. Many people are ignorant, and because they let the lack of knowing, they receive not. Well, I won't let nobody pray for me. I ain't going to let nobody do this. I went to a church, a friend of mine, and she, and as I was, they was worshiping, she said, I was worshiping before the Lord, and I had cancer. And I don't think she told anybody she had cancer. And the Lord began to move upon her, and the Holy Spirit said, dance. Dance before the Lord. And she said, I dance. And the Holy Spirit said, dance, and I'll heal you.
Yeah.
and she began to dance. She be dance. Now, some people, they think that that's sacrilegious because that never happened to them. You never seen that. There's a lot of stuff you haven't seen. There's a whole lot of things people ain't seen. They haven't experienced it. But the Lord began to move them on. She said, the Lord said, dance. Dance, and I'll heal you. And she began to dance in the spirit and dance in the Lord. And she said, I danced, and I kept dancing, and I danced, and the Lord kept, and that cancer was gone.
My Lord,
you see,
thank you.
We limit God by our ignorance.
Yes.
Or our traditions. Or our opinions. Or some of our church policies. Man policies.
Mm-hmm.
Well meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we intercede for Sister Sally and name the people that we intercede and going to worship, the messenger of the Lord said, worship and find the gift, worship and find deliverance. I'm going to believe that the Lord actually means what he says.
Yes.
Worship and find the gift, message 8838, 84:32, 88 and 3.
Jesus, yes.
It said, worship and bashing the life-giving light.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That's a key.
Yes.
And a point of key.
Yes.
But a lot of times we miss things in the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we rush and say, we like to rush to things like, we're the only one got the authority and be baptized, and that we're the only one. Well, we got to, you know one thing? We can't play one tune all your life. What about the other tunes in the scriptures?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's some other tunes we got to play. All right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
the word of the Lord, the messenger says in 88:36-37, come against him, break his yoke by true belief. Well, we're going to worship in behalf and usher in a battle against the enemy of Sister Sally, Bruce.
Jesus, yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We dare not leave you alone to fight this battle, sister. If any two would agree as touching anything, one can chase a thousand, two can put 10,000 to a flight. All right.
Yes.
Anybody want to release a worship, a praise? Father, you have the freedom and liberty to do so. It's not confusion.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. God can hear everybody's prayer at the same time. Let me say this. Because a lot of people, there are millions of people over the world praying. Do you know God is not confused? Do you know the Lord is not confused like man? He can hear all their prayers at the same time.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I said, all the millions of people that are praying right now together, I do not have to run around to a million people and say, stop, it's my turn, because God can't hear confusion, because all y'all praying at the same time.
Jesus. My Lord.
The Lord is not limited, as man
Amen.
Is.
Amen.
He hear all the prayers at people praying at the same time. He's not confused. He's not limited. So even though we pray one by one, what if when we pray in our hearts the same time? Can he hear that?
Yes, he can. Yes.
But if we open our mouth and say that, he can't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But what if we pray in our heart, in our spirit, silent, can he all hear those prayers? He can hear both of them.
Amen.
He can. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Sister Sally.
Yes, Lord.
We give glory.
Yes.
We submit.
We give glory. Yes, Lord.
In honor to the Lamb.
Yes, Jesus.
In heaven, O Lord, they are worshiping you before the throne. And it's like the voice of the worshipers are like a mighty river. Millions are worshiping before the throne.
Yes,
and their voices are ringing out glory, honor, praise and worship to the Lamb who was slain to redeem us from all nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And there's millions of voices in heaven. And their loud voices, melodious voices, is ringing out in the heavens with freedom.
Yes,
some are dancing before the Lord. Some are singing, worshiping unto the Lord, our God.
Jesus.
So we join with heaven's choir.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We join with the redeemed. We on the earth together with our brothers and sisters, millions before the throne. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Praise ye the Lord our God.
Yes.
For honor and glory. We aid the Holy Spirit as we give glory to your great and goodness and your faithfulness unto your people, the keeper of your covenant. You that make promises and keep all of your good promises. You that are faithful and true and not limited in any way. You that command us to come before you with thanksgiving and worship and enter into your praise that the enemy might be ambushed. So we come to glorify the risen Christ, him who was beaten and whooped and scourged and accused falsely and condemned. He that was beaten, who was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, 39 stripes. He was cast down for our sake. You, the one that loved us.
You,
the one that gave compassion and mercy and came in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. We honor you.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We appreciate you. We value you, our Lord. We come humbly before you and submit to you to worship with all the saints in heaven and those that are on the earth. Or anoint us for worship. Or anoint us for worship to war against the enemy. As we stand in one agreement, as it is written, if any two of you would agree as touching anything concerning the promises of God. Sister Sally Bruce, we usher in the worship. For the messenger said, bash worship and find deliverance. Find deliverance. Find the gift of healing and deliverance and a breakthrough. Find it. It is there. The word of the Lord declares it. The messenger from heaven declares it and confirms the Bible. We come with the sword of the Lord against the enemy that attack you. Brother Nate releases the sword of the Lord in agreement. And Sister Anderson, as they release against the disease and the oppression of the enemy. In Jesus' name.
The enemy. You do it. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Against the works of the devil, we bind the spirit of sickness, counsel right now. We refute. Spirit of infirmity, we command you to go. Loose from our body and let go. Spirit of pain, we command you to cease your operation.
Yes,
the blood of Jesus right now, is against you.
Yes,
her griefs and carry her sorrow.
Yes,
in the name of
Jesus,
for her transgression, for her iniquity. By his stripes, she is healed. Speak the word of healing and deliverance for her right now. In the name of Jesus. Blood is against you. Right now, every attack on your body. In the name
of Jesus. The enemy's work.
In the name of Jesus. Yes,
Lord.
Every
spirit of infirmity, disease, we cancel the the waster.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Release the sword, the two-edged sword of the word, to curse the enemy at work. Thank you, Jesus.
Right now.
Lord, we thank you for releasing your warring angels, your ministering angels, to encounter them that fear the Lord and deliver. For many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You sent your word and healed them and delivered us from destruction. All the men would bless the Lord for his wondrous works should show him. He sent his word, who forgiveth all our iniquity, healed all our diseases, who crown our head with loving kindness and tender mercy, and renew our youth like an eagle. Renew her life, Amaboshata. Renew her days in the name of Jesus, the living Christ. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
we worship.
Yes,
let the spirit of infirmity go. The spirit of pain be bound. The spirit of disease, leave.
Yes.
We bind you up. We release the sword and the spirit of the Lord to cataract, and the blood of Jesus prevail. The blood of the atonement of the Lamb prevail in her behalf. The blood atonement has paid the price to purchase us a deliverance and victory. And we praise you and worship you in the name of Jesus. For you said in everything, give thanks for this to the will of God in Christ. In all these things, we are more than conquerors to him that loved us, who gave his life a ransom for us. We are conquerors. We are more than conquerors. If God then be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, we're more than the enemy that be against us. We cancel your assignment, enemy, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory.
Yes, Lord. In Jesus'
glory.
Name. We be seated in faith in the heavenly place. We come against
Thank
the
you.
Devil. We break his yoke.
Thank you, Jesus.
Every spirit that's
Thank
coming against our dear sister, that we curse it right now in the name of Jesus. And we claim it. We lift up right now.
Thank you,
life given in the name of Christ Jesus, and we thank you for
Lord.
We thank you, Jesus, for honoring your promises. We thank you right now, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for it. Jesus.
Thank you.
Yes,
we thank
you. We give you, Lord Jesus.
We
deliverance has come. We lift up. We lift up and
we
claim.
Up. Hallelujah. We lift up and bash in.
Yes, Lord Jesus,
thank
that you be crowned, Lord God. That you clothe her, Lord Jesus, with the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we
thank
you right now. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you,
Lord.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Right up to every infirmity, Lord. Thank you,
thank
Lord
you, Jesus.
Thank
the waters
Jesus.
Of life.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes,
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank
all
you,
right.
Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, for your mighty works and your marvelous doing this day, intervening for our sister, and we praise you for the victory. Hallelujah. We praise you for the victory.
Thank you for the victory, Jesus. Praise you for the victory.
We magnify your faithfulness. We magnify, we hold fast the confession of our faith. In agreement. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen.
Thank you, Jesus. For the broadcast, we thank God for the prayers. We thank God for all of you that was praying with us, Father, Sister. Amen. We need the prayers of all the saints around the world. Amen. To come against the enemy. Also, we want to remind you, don't forget tomorrow night, another God's Word of Man broadcast. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Praise be to God. We thank God for all of you that have been listening. This is Brother Lee with Brother Nate and Sister Anderson. We love you all. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. We love you.
Amen.